The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Good day and greetings to all of you. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Worldwide Call to Obedience radio ministry out of Kokomo, Indiana, USA. Today we're continuing a study of the Gospel of John. But first, let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text, once again, is from John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Reviewing a little of last week's message, we must be aware of the fact that not all believing leads to receiving. Not all believing in Jesus leads to the receiving of the Lord Jesus into our lives. To use some illustrations, you can believe in banks, but just because you believe in banks does not mean that that's going to put any money in your pocket. You can believe in automobiles, but just believing in automobiles does not put a car in your driveway. You can believe in oranges and bananas, but just believing in oranges and bananas does not put an orange nor a banana into your stomach. So believing does not necessarily lead to receiving. The multitudes in the days of Jesus believed in him, but very few really received him. And that has not changed any up to this very day. Millions of people believe in Jesus. They believe in his divinity. They believe he came to be the Savior of the world. They believe he died for their sins. They believe he rose from the dead. But they have not received him. And because of this, so many churchgoers don't act like Jesus, don't think like Jesus, and don't react like Jesus. So if you're a Hindu or a Buddhist, or a Muslim, or a Shintoist, and you see churchgoers act other than like Jesus, it's because they believe in him without having received him. So whenever we talk about believing in a biblical sense, about biblical faith, what is meant by the scriptures is a believing that leads to receiving Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Means believe in him to the extent that you receive him into your life. And that gets us right into our text today. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, when we receive Jesus through biblical faith, then from that moment on, we have power. We have spiritual power. We have unlimited power. The power of God in our lives that changes us from sinners to saints. We need to stay with the scriptures, dear ones. The Apostle Paul never in any one of his epistles addressed the Christians in any other way but as saints. He never addressed them as sinners. Doesn't ring a bell with you? Doesn't Paul say to the saints of God at Ephesus or at Philippi or at Colossae? Because at the moment of conversion, at that moment, a person receives the Lord Jesus, he receives the power to become a son of God. He's changed from being a rebel to being a follower of the Lord Jesus. He's changed from being a man of darkness to becoming a man of light. He's changed from having been ungodly to becoming godly, to be godlike. To the extent that the Apostle Paul says that a Christian is a new creature, a new creation. The characteristics of God enter the heart and the soul of a person once he receives the Lord Jesus. He becomes godly. I mentioned to you, dear ones, that unfortunately, the most godly, the most godlike most Christians ever were was on the day of their conversion. It was on that day that they were more excited about Jesus than about ball games, than about television programs and cars and houses and lands and shopping. On that day, they were more excited about joining a prayer fellowship if possible, every day than doing most anything else. And this, of course, is what we find in the book of Acts, the second chapter, where it talks about the early Christians on their first few days. It says they, once they get saved, once they receive the power of God into their lives, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers together. Oh, they said, meeting for prayer just on Sundays is not good enough. We want to pray again. Let's do it together tomorrow and pray again. Let's get together on Tuesday to pray again. Let's get together Wednesday. Let's get together every night of the week and pray in a fellowship and share what Jesus has done for us. And let's tell others about this. They had absolutely no interest in material things. In fact, they gave up their material possessions like they were absolutely worthless. They laid all their money at the apostles' feet. My friend, if you have ever been truly converted, there was at least one day in your life on which you felt like, on which you were like these first Christians on the day of Pentecost. But unfortunately, it must be said of most Christians that the most spiritual they ever were, the most absorbed and excited they ever were the things of God, was on the day of their conversion. And since that time, they have backslidden because they have not appropriated the power of God that was given to them on the day of their conversion. Oh, how great this power is. As many as received him, to them gave he power. It is a power that put the stars in the heavens and that caused God to divide land from sea. Just recently, I was on one of the Hawaiian islands and we were swimming together in the ocean with a native guide, and he was helping me because the waves were about 5 to 6 feet crashing against the shore. He says, every time they come your way, just duck under, come back up when it's over. And so I did that. But the first time, as I was coming back up, I was looking for the sandbar I was standing on. And dear ones, that sandbar was gone, and my left pocket of my swimming suit was full of sand. Now, the power of water is so tremendous. I'm telling you this to say, dear ones, imagine the power of God exercised in dividing all the land from all the sea, as we read it back in the book of Genesis. This great power of God, this unlimited power, is at work when we receive the Lord Jesus into our lives. Oh, don't give the excuse that you can't live the Christian life. Listen, with that power, of course you can overcome the self-life. You can overcome the world and the devil. When you receive this power at conversion, you become godly, like God in character and in spirit and in likes and dislikes and in his nature. So now, in the next verse, the Apostle John explains that this cannot occur in any other way but that we are born of God. So he says in verse 13, referring to those who received Jesus, which were born not of blood, and that refers to ancestry. And this particularly refers here to the Jewish people. Do you recall how often the Jews said, we are the sons of Abraham. We can trace our ancestry, our bloodline, all the way back to Abraham. So we are the sons of God. But here John makes it plain. He says, although you Pharisees and you scribes can trace your bloodline all the way back to Abraham, that does not make you sons of God. You must be born of God to become sons of God. In other words, the Jew must receive the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the power of God as anybody else on the face of the earth. Of course, we can also relate this to people who have godly fathers and mothers and godly grandparents. It says here, which were born not of blood. You may have a good bloodline of Christian people in your history, but dear ones, no matter how godly your mother may be and how holy your father may be, you cannot get the power of God. You cannot become a son of God through the bloodline, through the ancestry. Jesus said, I say unto you, marvel not, you must be born again. Then the second thing that John mentions here is nor of the will of the flesh, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. And some scholars refer to this section, not of the will of the flesh, as impulse, fleshly impulse. Many persons in churches today are people who came into the church by a physical impulse. when they were young, in their youth, they went to a camp meeting and the Holy Spirit was working. And a few teens were drawn by the Holy Spirit. They came to the altar and they had a marvelous conversion experience. But under impulse, under a fleshly impulse, many other young people came to the altar and they tried to have the same experience, but they were not able to get it because they came by a fleshly impulse. And so this happens over and over again in these type of occasions. Some get saved and truly, truly become the sons of God, and just some would just think they got saved. And for many in Christianity, there was a beginning with a fleshly impulse, and then these people are impulsive believers the rest of their lives. Sometimes they come to church and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they pray and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they stay with the church for a while and then they get restless and go to another church because there is no root system in their lives, no joy, no thrill, and no adventure in their lives because they were not truly born of God. No doubt these are the people that John talks about in his first epistle, the second chapter, verse 19, where he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." John says here, there are people in our church who have left us. But he says they left us because they were not part of us to start with. He says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Impulse brought them in, and impulse took them out. Let's go to the third statement of John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Nor of the will of man. We cannot will ourselves to become sons and daughters of God. Oh, God has given us grace by which we may, by willpower, by which we may become doctors, lawyers, scientists, professors, airline captains, nurses, and electricians. Yes, there are a lot of things we can do by willpower. But God says not by the will of man. We cannot. There's one thing we cannot do. We cannot will ourselves into. We cannot will ourselves into becoming sons and daughters of God. We must be born of God. And that happens only as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts by faith. Then we receive power to become the sons of God, to become godly. Well, let me end this little message today with a question, dear ones. Is your Christianity better now than it was on the day when you were born of God? Or are you a backslider? Are other things now keeping you away from the enthusiasm for prayer alone and with other people? Are other things now keeping you away from worshiping whenever the opportunity arises? Do you have any gods in your life, like the god of sports and the god of material things, the god of money, the god of tradition, the god of learning, the god of pleasure, the god of sex, the god of pornography? Friend, if you're backslidden, come back to God. Come back to God and ask Him to forgive you. Repent of your sins and start a new page in your life. Then to those of you who are not Christians, wouldn't you like to be a Christian? Wouldn't you like to have the power of God come into your life to make you a godly person? I trust you will. So if you're interested in becoming a Christian, contact me, write to me. I'm Pastor Schulze. You can spell my name any way you like to. Pastor Schulze, Kokomo Christian Fellowship. Kokomo is spelled K-O-K-O-M-O. K-O-K-O-M-O. Kokomo Christian Fellowship. Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903. 46903, USA. Goodbye now, until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.